hopes that the violence in South Sudan will end anytime soon are diminishing. On the weekend, a tribal militia of 25,000 young men marched towards the capital. They support former Vice President Riek Machar, who has denounced news of a pending ceasefire. The violence began a fortnight ago, and according to the United Nations, thousands of people have died. International pressure is bearing down on the two sides in the South Sudan's bloody conflict to launch peace talks in an effort to keep the young nation from sliding into civil war. Peace brokers from East Africa and the Horn of Africa have set up a December 31 deadline for the two leaders to begin face-to-face talks. A week ago, we spoke about the developing crisis in the fledgling nation with Cassie Copeland, a South Sudan analyst with the International Crisis Group, and she joins us once again on the line from Nairobi. Welcome once more, Cassie.
Thanks for having me.
Cassie, the situation, of course, has deteriorated since we spoke to you a week ago. What is the latest on the ground in South Sudan?
The conflict shows no signs of abating, has extended to several other places. One of South Sudan's largest cities, Malakal, had about 4 days straight of heavy fighting in the city over Christmas, and loss of life and loss of property is still to be determined.
Obviously, now the international effort is ramping up. This deadline that I've mentioned, how likely is it that the two leaders will meet this deadline for face-to-face talks?
While all pressure is certainly on for the two leaders to sit down together, at this point it's looking increasingly unlikely.
Is the international pressure enough?
At the end of the day, the two sides are making decisions based on their visions for the country, on their objectives for political leadership, and the international community's pressure is one part of their decision-making, but the two sides are going to have to decide for themselves when they're going to sit down and talk.
So what happens if this deadline passes?
Well, I think that's a big open question, and then it leads to some conversations about what kind of punitive measures the international community might put on the two parties if they are unwilling to sit and speak by the 31st.
Is there stomach for that at this point?
I believe the international community is quite seized of the conflict and recognizes that the failure to address it sooner rather than later is going to lead to only further spiraling of conflict and violence, making it all the harder to resolve at a later time.
Cassie, what about the role of regional leaders in this dispute?
Well, we've seen IGAD taking a strong lead with the Kenyans and the Ethiopians in particular leading on negotiations, where there are concerns about the regional implications of the conflict and Uganda's role both in its strong support of the government of South Sudan and at the same time serving as part of the mediating team under IGAD.
So are the regional leaders taking sides at this stage?
That's a serious concern. It's been alleged by Riek Machar's camp, and sort of at this point, what we're looking at is hoping that the conflict can be brought to a halt before we see a regionalization of it.
Because I imagine this would undermine any efforts at a regional level to broker some sort of peace.
Indeed, these are the fears that are very much in the minds of some of the armed groups and some of the international community at present.
Now, there are reports of 120,000 people being displaced, with up to 22,000 seeking shelter in UN camps. Can the UN cope with the humanitarian crisis?
I think the figures we're looking at are significantly higher. I think we have perhaps 60 to 70,000 civilians sheltering inside of UN bases at present. This is a critical situation, both in terms of protection of their lives, as well as basic humanitarian service provision in the camps. The UN is stretched to its limits, trying to do this alone, let alone playing a role in resolving the conflict.
And there have been reports of mass graves and massacres. What is the UN able to do to protect civilians?
The UN at this point is largely limited to protecting the civilians that have sought shelter inside of UN bases. Due to the number of civilians and the number of troops at hand, most resources are dedicated simply to protecting the civilians that are inside rather than proactively patrolling and deterring. That may change with the arrival of another 5,500 troops, hopefully in the coming weeks. But at this point, we're seeing a very limited ability for the UN to do much to deter violence outside of its own compound. And even then, within the compound, there are very serious protection of civilians concerns.
So what we're seeing really is a humanitarian crisis unfolding. In terms of evacuations, we spoke about that last week. Are they still ongoing?
Most countries have evacuated their nationals, but we are seeing a few countries, and particularly regional countries, evacuating their nationals. There are some areas that have been harder to reach due to conflict, and those are the areas we're seeing members of the international community being pulled out of.
So, Cassie, it looks like we've got a critical sort of 24 hours ahead of us. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Cassie Copeland is a South Sudan analyst with the International Crisis Group, talking to us about the unfolding crisis there. It's 12 minutes to 7.